Hello.
Hello.
Oh my God.
I couldn't find my headphones.
Holy mackerel.
I'm like, uh-oh. I guess I'm not quite ready.
I like you. You brought the professionalism to the show.
How's that?
Prepared.
Always prepared. That is my motto.
Yeah. So I guess Micah won't be joining us. He's learning some Japanese.
Ah, konnichiwa.
Yeah, he's got a study group.
Ah. Sexy.
Yeah. Just wants to read some more comics.
Sit around reading manga.
I wouldn't be surprised if we find him in Japan, like in 2 or 3 years from now, and we're podcasting with him in Japan.
When you have to podcast in the middle of the night, though?
I don't know what we'd have to do. That's his problem.
Yeah, if he sends us, like, let's record at, it'll be like 2, like, Asian Pacific time or something. It'll be like, then I'll never make it on time.
Yeah, you can't even get our time zones. We're only 1 hour apart. You can't figure it out. Yeah. I like how you put in the note, Central Time.
Got to be specific. It's very important.
My time.
Oh, instead of Eastern Time? That's right. I can't screw it up if I put my time.
Yeah.
No room for error.
So we are on episode 190, right?
I think you might be right. Episode 190 of Geek Brunch. Man, getting close to 200.
Yeah, we're getting close. We're about what? Many weeks away.
That's right. That's like 6 months away. At our current pace.
Yeah. So what you been up to?
190. What have I been up to? I've been... Not much the usual. Working. Oh, there's an email from Micah.
Yeah. It says, I thought we were starting earlier. I saw the central time, and now I have a study group.
Micah. Yes, that's what I've been up to. I've been working, writing.
Oh, you're writing again?
Watching TV. I'm always writing.
Yeah. What do you do with it, though? Do you pursue anything with it? Or are you just like throw it in the closet?
Throw it in the drawer. Bottom drawer, bottom drawer, bottom drawer.
You're the perfectionist that will never release anything.
I will someday. I am the type of person who likes to get good at something before they put it out there and regret it later.
Okay.
So I'm... I haven't done anything with any of it yet, no. I'd like to, I've done a couple things, but not in terms of trying to sell it, but in terms of getting feedback on it. So that's kind of the spot I'm in now is writing stuff and trying to get feedback on it to find out what's wrong with it so I can improve.
Yeah.
Until I get to that point, then there's no sense going further.
Why not? You get it in front of more eyes publicly.
Yeah, I'd rather...
Not just your friends that say, yeah, this is awesome.
You're the greatest.
then you go viral. This asshole doesn't know how to write anything.
This is a piece of crap. That's right. Whenever I read something that's poorly written or doesn't appeal to me. I'm always like, didn't they have anyone read this like before they? Or it's like the people who get on American Idol or Audition, who completely suck and cannot sing. It's like, haven't they sung before anyone ever before in their lives? Like, no one has ever criticized them before.
Right.
But I think if you just do it in front of your mom, then if you just have your mom review your writing, I'm the greatest writer ever. No, actually, there's a bunch of sites online that do like script reviews, like group type script reviews where you submit it and people will review it. So I've done stuff like that.
Yeah, I've heard about those sites. It's called Paramount and Universal, and then they take your ideas, make a movie.
Steal your ideas. Next thing you know.
I heard about them sites. Nah, the script isn't that good. And then you see the movie.
That's right.
What? There's fucking insane asylum people and the fucking...
That's my idea. Wait a second. They got a crazy guy who thinks he's both Laurel and Hardy.
Hey, that's
Mike's idea. You gave it to me, though.
I did give it to you. He's a crazy fucker.
he's actually a character in one of the stories I'm working on. Laurel and Hardy guy. I don't remember what his name is. What's his name? Perry. That's Perry. Yeah. It's good. I don't want to get into the details of it, but it turned into something good, so... He'll be happy to know. And he's the comic relief character, so...
I'll give you some more characters if you want.
You're full of them?
Yeah. You need a character, you tell me what kind of character and...
Bam.
Bam. He's fucking insane because he can't make up his mind whether he's Laurel or Hardy. It just depends on the situation. And then he argues with himself sometimes.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He's both simultaneously and argues with himself. Which I need to... I actually did start watching some Laurel and Hardy movie. Because I am...
Which one are you watching?
Oh, goodness. I don't know. Whatever was like streaming on Amazon.
Oh.
Flying Deuces, maybe?
Oh, yeah. That one's awesome.
Flying Aces is flying. It's where they, I've watched maybe the first half hour of it. It's my first. I think it's my first real. I might have watched a little bit of Laurel and Hardy when I was a kid, but not ever seriously.
You know, this is really my experience with Laurel and Hardy is very weird, man. We would always have these vacations every summer where my dad would pack up the Apache. Little trailer in the back, and we'd go across country like the family truckster,
right?
And
like family vacation.
Yeah, we would never stay at a hotel; those were too expensive. We would always stay in that pop-up Apache tent. And at the KOA camps, when I was a kid, I remember distinctively the KOA camps always had like a laundromat. They always had a game room. They had a pool, and then they had like movie night. Where you'd go see a movie, and they would always be like...
Where would the movie be?
This is where I'm getting to. It's like Laurel and Hardy or the Little Rascals.
Yeah, but where would you watch them? Like in a room?
Outside. Like
on a screen?
Yeah, on a projector.
Okay. Someone brought out the reel-to-reel and...
Yeah, and just showed it.
Wow.
I remember a couple of KOA. Yeah, I saw a lot of Laurel and Hardy, and at the time I thought it was really funny. So, I revisited a couple of their movies and stuff, and their shorts, and I still think they're hilarious. I feel the same way about the Marx Brothers, man. Except the Marx Brothers, I think they were a little more less slapstick and more advanced, I thought, in terms of humor.
Yeah. I think Groucho had the higher level of comedy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. The one thing...
Well, the brothers were also different. Like, Groucho would always be, like, the majority of the movie, like, as far as laughs. But Harpo would have like this all the silent funny moments, always be playing the harp. And then Chico was the shyster. He was the one that always doing stuff, like making deals and stuff. And then the other brothers, Geppo and Zeppo or whatever, they were always the straight men that you never even realized were there.
So when you come up with characters, do you just base them all on classic comedy bits? You should have a guy who doesn't talk.
Why is this guy? He's playing the harp all the time. The fuck? He's obsessed with the harp, and then he holds his leg up. He holds his leg up for some reason.
Yeah, so I'm learning about Laurel and Hardy as I write this, so it's interesting. Because I didn't really know anything about their what their characters were like or what their main bits were.
Yeah.
I know that.
And then you got to have a character like the girl from Play Misty for Me with Clint Eastwood. She was fucking insane.
I don't remember that.
You didn't see Play Misty for Me? Well, there's your next character. You got to go do your homework on Clint Eastwood's Play Misty for Me. If I remember correctly, I saw that one early. That was a 70s movie. He was like a radio DJ or like a, you know, one of those late night radio guys.
Yeah.
And he got a listener that was obsessed with them, like insanely and crazy, like multiple personalities. And it just went to hell in a handbasket. It's kind of like Fatal Attraction before there was a Fatal Attraction.
So the woman was stalking him?
Yeah.
You know what? One of the things I noticed that was cool about Laurel and Hardy is the way Laurel talks. Like, he uses the wrong word for things. Or he uses words incorrectly, and it's very humorous.
Yeah, Laurel is my favorite, obviously. There's one skit where they're like trying to deliver a piano or something. If you can find that, it's just freaking hilarious. I forget what it's called, but Daryl's joining us. The media mongol from the Taylor Network.
You can call him Mongrel.
Yeah, I was just reading like Mongol. So.
The media mongrel.
Mongol. Mogul.
Only people I'm married to can call me that.
He's the Superman villain.
Bill always scares me because I see that mask he wears over the...
Well, the funny thing about that is I never see it, so I always forget about it.
Did that come in one of the comics, the 3D issue, or what?
No, that was from a con.
Oh, I want one. Damn it.
I know.
I might have an extra one.
I want one with Dan the Unharmable and all that in front of me. He comes with the full, like, he come with the hippie look and the curly long hair, and then you could buy the villain, the girl that likes teeth knocked out, or the guy that has the big schlong. I still think that's hilarious. Those two were freaking insane. I can't believe it ended because it had so much more to go.
Yeah, it just had the two arcs, right?
Yeah.
That's too bad.
They're not coming back, no?
And he's got all his kids. I mean, he's got the kids that he's taking care of, at least that you think they're his kids. They're pretty whacked out themselves because they were molested and raped as kids into that cult. Ooh. Yeah, they're fucked up.
I saw a movie on that, too.
On Dan the Unharmable or Cult?
No, but a cult. It was some indie movie I saw about the human condition. And
why don't you pick that for our challenge, the human condition?
I would pick that. It is actually a cool movie though, but it had a girl that came back. She came out of a cult to live with her older sister. Like they're all grown now, but she has to adjust to normal life after being in that cult for so long, and she has a hard time. Like he would pretty much just sleep with all the women, whatever woman he wanted to, underage or not, in the cult. So that was normal for her. So when she came to live with her sister, who had her husband, I think her boyfriend, she just happened to walk in on them having sex. And it was normal because, you know, the cult, they didn't...
Wasn't that the Kevin Smith movie?
No, this was...
I thought you were talking about the Red whatever.
No, not when everybody... Not Red State. Not when everybody got shot and killed all through the movie.
But that was kind of fucked up because I remember the daughter... the mother walking... I can't remember who it was. It was one of those awkward scenes.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was... I gotta find it, but it was a crazy movie where she... Like, sex was nothing to her because the evil cult leader would just... You know, he would just do whatever he did, and everybody acted like it was normal because he was supposed to be the god or whatever of the universe. So if God wants a woman right now to have sex with her right now in that room, that's what he did. So her reactions were just kind of, it was just out there.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
So, I don't remember what it's called.
So, hey, Bill, you could have another character that's like Daryl, and I'll write his character. He has an obsession with licking things. he's part of the loony bin that they had to put him away because he just has an obsession with licking things. He'll lick anything.
Sure.
The liquor.
As long as it's not spicy.
No, you lick anything. We have to adapt. Oh. We have to adapt it.
No, it's called Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene. That's the name of the
movie. I've heard of that one.
Yeah, and that's what it was. It had Elizabeth Olsen. That was the Olsen sister that can actually act. Because it's the twins, and then it's her.
The younger sister?
Yeah.
Younger sister, right?
Yeah, she's good. The one they say that actually has a career in this. You know, a real career in doing movies.
For now.
Oh, for now.
Told her sisters invite her to a party.
Oh, yeah. They tell her, take all this. Over. Take this. But, yeah, she looked normal. Like she eats food every now and then.
Mm-hmm. Healthy looking.
Yeah, she actually looks like she's, you know, she's healthy. She eats every day. Her sisters look like they're just waiting for somebody to just pass them a bucket so they can just throw up real quick. They do.
So, Mike, you getting any rain?
Well, we got tons of rain, but not as bad. My brother's basement got flooded in Boulder. And there's like... In the Boulder area, or you know, Jay Straczynski, he was evacuated.
Team Boulder.
Yeah, no, he's in Lyons, but there it's like south west of Boulder, towards the mountain base there. But he was evacuated. He was just trying to get people to rescue his cats. So there's been a lot of crazy rain. There's a lot of basements flooding here. Luckily, I've been fortunate. If it floods, I lose one row of comics. That's pretty much it.
So you haven't moved your comics to higher ground?
No. Well, some of them are on higher ground. Some of them are not.
Oh, you mean... so you just lose one shelf, the bottom shelf?
Yeah.
Or on the ground?
Yeah. Most of the toys and stuff are in those plastic... Tupperware things, you know, completely sealed.
Mm-hmm.
So those wouldn't be damaged.
One day I want you to do video of all the comics in your house.
You just see boxes everywhere. It looks like
a 4-hour video.
You have to do is watch the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark. You know where that guy's wheeling the crate and filing it? That's what it looks like. That's what the house looks like. Except that guy had a clear path. He could wheel something in there. I have to zigzag and Mike, zip and sometimes dive to place things.
We want to know about the Mecca. We want to see it. Like, we know you buy a lot of comics, but we really actually want to see the comics in your house. Like, Barb will not allow it, I know.
Yeah, Barb would, like, edit the video before it was shown. Yeah.
I need it so I can show my wife it.
She has to live in shame.
She established dominance very quickly, and she said, you will not take a picture. I will not do it.
All videos and pictures of the house have to be approved through Barb. Because she establishes dominance.
Occasionally you'll see one posted where there's piles of comics in the background or some boxes under a table.
Yeah.
Sneak by the filter.
It takes back the editor.
Do you have one thing where you move all the comics out of the way so you could just see the couch and it looks like the floor is empty of comics? Is that what you do? And then you take pictures of the dog?
And then I move the book boxes back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I gotta see it one day. I gotta come up just for that, just to see all the comics.
It's a lot of comics, man. Matter of fact, I just want to get up in one of my guest bedrooms and just go through the comics because I know I have fucking Vigilante in there, and
I bought that last night,
and I'm like, motherfucker, I can't find anything in that room. It's not in my database, so I don't know what's in that room exactly.
It's a whole room of comics. You don't know what's in there.
Yeah, it's a damn shame. Everywhere else, every other room, I know what's there. I know what's in it.
Just have the one room that you don't know.
I need to dig into that. That'll take me at least a week. I need to take some time off work. Fuck it.
Yeah, so fuck it.
Are your boxes numbered or just by location?
No, just I kind of know what pile things are and based on when I read it. They're in order. I just have to find out what stack. I mean,
so you have one stack for each week?
No. it's too complicated of a system to explain. There's no logical. It's all in Mike's brain. If I try to explain it to somebody, they would never figure it out. Like, I could tell you where all my Valiant stuff and Image stuff is and most of my DCs and Marvels, but it's where things got convoluted a couple years ago where I had sorted everything and then I started acquiring large amounts of books and then I didn't know where to put them and then I started filing them in other piles and then things got a little chaotic.
You broke your system.
Yeah, I broke it.
You have chaos running in your house.
Yes. So, I read a lot of Red Sonja yesterday, and it was awesome. I read this one called Unchained. It was Red Sonja Unchained.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to find out who the creative team is, because that was the one that got me hooked on it. The art was amazing. Red Sonja Unchained. It's only a 4-issue series by Peter Brett. And I think this guy's like in movies or something. Like, I think we should know his name, but I don't know what he's done. But he did Red Sonja, this series, and then he did a Red Sonja Blue, which was the prequel. And I went, luckily, with Comixology, they had it, and I could go read the prequel. Because in the way Unchained opens is she just sliced some young dude's head off. Like, his head is just hanging there. And you're like, why did he slice his head off? And it kind of explains it, but it doesn't explain it in detail, like how you got there. And why her chain armor is, you know, her bikini chain mail is missing. Well, she's not naked. She's wearing this, like, blue hairy fur thing.
Oh.
And you don't know why. She's still sexy as hell in it, but why is she wearing this thing? But Blue explains it. She was actually hired. This is when she's like a hardcore mercenary. She was hired by an innkeeper to go rescue her son. And her son was being sacrificed to some demon, like this blue demon. And she rescued him and then cut off his skin and then used it as clothing, which was a bad idea. That was a bad idea. That's how the whole story started.
Of course.
And then blood gets onto the clothes, and that's where the demon manifests itself. But it focuses a lot on Red Sonja's like promise to the goddess that she will never have sex with any man unless that man can best her in battle, and no man can do it. But she's like never had sex. Well, this young kid falls in love with her, and one night she gets drunk. I mean, like fucked up. She outdrinks everybody in the inn, and she like bit. She bets them, like, I could drink more than you. And they're like, no, you can't. You know, all these barbarians and assholes try to outdrink her. They can't outdrink her. She'll outdrink everyone. And she could still walk away, but she is plastered. And then the guy, the young kid that she rescued, was so in love with her and wanted to go off with her that he said, wow, she's drunk. There's nothing in her promise to that goddess that I can't take advantage of the situation, and I'll try to best her in battle. Well, that was the bad mistake, because that's how he gets his head lopped off. But it's a good story, man.
I read that second issue. No, the first issue of the other main one with Gail Simone.
I read the first three issues of the Gail Simone, and the third one was by far my favorite, but you didn't read that one yet, right?
No, I just read the first two, and then I gotta get to the third one. But I love that. I mean, I enjoyed how they did it. She starts out drunk, of course. She's hungover from drinking too much.
Well, in the first one, she's in a dungeon.
No. Well, remember, she
starts in the dungeon.
It was a quick flash. Wasn't it a quick flash of where she came from?
Oh yeah, and then she was drunk again.
And
yeah.
Then she was drunk again. This is after she's, you know, Red Sonja.
No, that's where she's like in front of a fire and she's plastered.
Right, because she was drinking. She.
And then some assholes want to rob her, and they're kind of like, "We'll take your horse. We'll take your." And she says, "You can take everything."
Yeah.
She basically, take it. I'm drunk. I don't want to deal with you.
Fuck with
but
me.
But if you fuck with me, you're gonna end up dying. And they were like, "These stupid bastards." They could have taken the horse.
Yep.
They could have taken the money and just walked away. But no, they couldn't do that, right, Daryl? They couldn't do it.
No, they never can do it. Because I know being that drunk. I understand being that drunk. Leave me alone. Just take all the shit you got to take. Just leave me alone.
That's like when I tried to get you in the taxi. You were like Red Sonja.
Yeah, just leave me alone. Just don't take my phone.
I was like, let me at least walk you to it. No, I'm going to take a taxi.
Leave me alone.
Leave me alone.
Just leave me alone. Because you have a thought in your head when you're drunk, and you got to stick to your thought. You cannot change from your thought. And anybody tries to deter you, you're angry. So all she said was, don't touch my sword.
That's right. Don't take my sword. Walk on. Walk on by.
That's it. They couldn't do it. And she fucked him up. And it showed how bad that thing was, too, man. It showed how her staying in there. How long were they locked? She was locked up in that dungeon?
It sounded like they were in a dungeon for years. And it was kind of like Spartacus, because they would just match them up. These Atlantean creatures would, like, have them fight to the death until there's no more. Mm-hmm. And there were only two women left. And a king had invaded the Atlanteans and freed Red Sonja and this other character who they didn't introduce until like the second issue.
Right.
But he let those two women go, and they were the last two that were going to go head to head before there was only one left.
Right.
And the interesting thing is when they try to steal her money or try to take her sword, there's three dudes. And she makes easy use of killing both dudes easy. And then there's a third guy who's pretty much just hanging there to get food and stuff. He was the guy that was in the background, like saying, "Let's get the fuck out of here. Let's."
Right.
He was the guy whispering in the guy's ear, "Let's go. She says we could take the money, the horse." He just wants to feed his family and feed himself because he's got the plague. He's already infected. He's sick. He knows he's gonna die, and just wants to eat and then bring any food he has back to the camp or whatever. But they don't listen to him, but Red Sonja lets him live. But it's like foreshadowing into what's coming, which it's a plague. She gets the plague.
Right. It's cool, though. It's good. It's a good run. It's a good book. And I've never really been a a fan of Red Sonja. Like, I don't dislike it, but I've just never really been into Sword and Sorcery too much like Keith is. So I, you know, I would read it here and there, but just that first issue had me into it.
Yeah, and Walter Giovanni's doing some good art. He's been doing a lot of Red Sonja. He's never left.
Yeah, I have to disagree with Vince B on all. Every time I hear him talking about Dynamite has bad art, I don't agree with that.
Dynamite's killing it with the writers. They are killing it. Like, they're hiring some top talent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they even have an ad in all their books now, which says Dynamite has perfect writers, and it says Steve Niles, Tony Lee, Gail Simone, Andy Diggle, Mark Waid, Garth Ennis, Matt Wagner, Jeff Parker, Michael Straczynski, Peter Milligan, James Robinson, Howard Chaykin, Dwayne Straczynski, Neil Gaiman. I mean, they're killing it. They're really writing some good stories.
I like them.
They forgot Chris Roberton. I mean, he's doing stuff for them. I mean, there's some great writers writing for Dynamite right now, and there's some good stories.
I like the Black Bat.
Yeah, there's the Black Bat, and then you have JT Kroll on the Owl.
Yep.
And I mean, there's the Shadow, David Liss,
which I forgot.
He's killing it.
I gotta get the Owl stuff. I forgot to buy that. Go on my app.
But there's one thing that's nice about Dynamite, if you're into digital, is that you just wait a while. They go down $2.
Drop them down.
So they go from $3.99 to $1.99 if you just wait a little bit. I couldn't wait for Red Sonja Unchained, though, because I was on a roll. I didn't buy it. I fucking didn't order it. And I saw that they had come out with it, and I'm like, oh, damn it. There's $3.99 I spent. Yeah, I was bad, but I wanted to finish the story. That's how good it was. It hooked me.
I had finished Red Team, too.
And then I read Red Sonja Atlantis Rises. And that one was the weakest of the bunch, but it was still all right.
Mm-hmm. And then they have a solicit for a new series in this month's previews. Legends of Red Sonja.
Number 3 was freaking awesome because it's like it's like Gail Simone retelling her childhood, like, which is very similar to Conan's. It's she's like the inverse of Conan, and how she became Red Sonja, except she actually had a goddess like save her, and that's where the promises of never having a man and all that stuff came into play,
which is crazy. You have, which is just insane. No, they would never do that to a man. They would never do a thing where.
Yeah, they wouldn't do that to Conan.
No, you never have sex. You will have fortune.
What is Arnold Schwarzenegger says? I'm violating the women, and
yeah, they would never do no shit like that, dude. Because he'd be like, I don't want to be the king. Then I don't want to be the king. I changed my mind. I don't want to do it. Yeah, it's silly. It is silly. That and Wonder Woman can't have sex. Their vaginas must be preserved forever.
What have you read, Bill?
I read one. You mentioned before, you talked about before, but I finally got around to reading it. I don't know, finally. Yeah, I guess finally. Dayman number 1 from Boom.
You took my pick.
I only read the first one, though, so you could talk about subsequent ones. This was a great first issue, I thought. I think it introduced the main character, who is this dude who is hired by vampires to take care of their business during the day. So he takes care of their financial business and takes care of cleaning up the messes they make during the day. So when they're sleeping, he kind of cleans up. And I like the way it's set up because it's kind of like the vampires are like these, they're almost like mafia teams.
Yeah, they have families.
Families of vampires who do their crimes at night. and then have these dudes who clean up after them during the day. I thought I did a real good job of introducing the scenario, introducing the main character, and setting up the where the series is going to go from here, which is kind of the wars between the vampire families.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was a great first issue.
I like it, too, because you don't often see in vampire books that their culture has fuck-ups, like regular society, yeah.
Right.
Mr. Rockstar with long hair that thinks he could break the rules and...
Yeah, so he had to clean up after this
one
vampire just liked to party all the time.
Party all the time, party all the time.
Hey, why not? You're a vampire.
You would get bored. You would have to get bored every now and then.
Like, what that else place is cool because you went to like a bar that seems to be just for vampires and things of that nature. That's protected by like Navy SEALs and ex-Navy SEALs and military guys.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's great. You know, it's an option for a movie. It got picked up.
That didn't surprise me.
Yeah, it got picked up early, and it's only, one issue in? I think maybe it's up to issue two?
I haven't got issue two yet, so...
And it's only one issue in so far. That's it, so far.
I'm surprised because the date on it's July, so I'm surprised they haven't brought up.
Well, you know what? The writer was actually at Baltimore. Did you see him, Mike? Did you?
No.
Well, he was at Baltimore, and...
So which one? Matt?
Matt Gangan. Yeah, and
It was co-written by Michael Allen Nelson, who does lots of stuff for Boom.
Yeah,
that's the one guy I do know because he does tons of stuff.
Yeah, I bet you Matt came up with the idea and Michael like took the script and refined it because he has more experience doing comics.
Because he's the editor in chief. Matt Gargan is the editor in chief for Boom.
That's right. I remember I saw that.
Yeah, so he said that the artist...
Oh, so he said, I got this idea. You got to help me write it.
Yeah, it takes them a little longer to get it done, but they don't want to, flip artists.
Oh, so the art... Brian Steelfreeze.
Yeah, it takes a little bit, yeah.
And the art was awesome.
It was. That's why I'll wait. I'll wait for this.
Yeah.
Well, you were talking to the guy next to Andrew Peepoy that was a... He's his mentor, right? Or... He was saying Steelfreeze is his mentor.
Oh, yeah. Damn it. That was his name? I forgot his name.
I don't remember his name, but he seemed like a pretty cool dude.
Hoyt Silver. Yeah, Hoyt Silver. See, he's doing something for, he's doing a Quartermain series, like a mini. He was a pretty good guy, pretty cool guy. He's new to the business and stuff. He pretty much came into it. He sent in work, and then Brian Stoffy saw it, and he told him, if you come down, he would, he would be his mentor, basically. And he came down after he graduated and got in the car and packed his stuff and went. So, that's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, so this is good, and it doesn't surprise me that it was picked up because it's a unique tale within a established genre. So, if you can come up with a unique idea within a genre, then you're writing your own ticket.
Yeah, I don't know how Two Guns did at the theater, but I know it did fairly good in Rotten Tomatoes.
I think it did. It made enough that I think they're talking about a sequel.
The reason that that's dangerous, though, is it seems like Denzel Washington and Wahlberg's salaries. Plus, they had like Edward James. I mean, they had a good lineup of actors in that movie.
Yeah.
It wasn't like let's just make this movie. It was they had a good cast.
So someone put some money behind it.
Yeah, they can't be cheap.
No, not at all.
I just think the preview sucked so bad. Like, the preview was horrible. It gave you nothing. And I think that's what was... It was just bad marketing.
Mm-hmm. No, but I don't think they can. Go ahead.
Now that he stole your day, man, what do you got?
I'm trying to fix up. I've read so much in a short couple of days, and now the thing
it's is all a blur.
It's all a blur. Like, I'm trying to pick what I didn't read. So I read Thor. I do remember that. That stands out to me. I think it was Thor 12, issue 12. It was after the God Bomb arc had finished. Concluded, and now this is Thor coming back to Earth and hanging out, and you get to see kind of the day in the life of Thor, and it's by Jason Aaron, and it was cool because the first thing you see is him visiting somebody on death row. You don't know what happens with that. You don't know why he befriends this guy on death row. You don't even know what he did, really, besides you know he killed, but you don't know who he killed and what was the deal with that. But he's there and he's talking to him and he brings him some thing from space that it's like one of a kind, and he brings that to him before he dies, and he tells him that he's going to be there with him to the end, you know, and they're about to, this is execution, this day of execution. And then it goes to, he was invited to be at the prom, the SHIELD prom for the cadets that graduated, and there's a girl she's into nature and all that kind of stuff, and she will be
the prom?
Yeah, the SHIELD has a prom for their cadets. They're college cadets.
I always think of prom as a high school thing.
I did too when I saw it, but it's for the SHIELD, and they graduated, and she's going to going after environmental threats, and she studies threats to the environment and all that kind of stuff. So she's trying to talk to Thor about, how too much pollution and we're doing this to the oceans and stuff. And Thor's like, hey, let's, why don't you chill out with that? Let's go dance. And I'm going to drink a lot. And maybe we'll get it on later or something. You know, it's up to you. So then it goes to he goes to visit Jane Foster, who has cancer, and he's talking to her and her boyfriend. She has a boyfriend, and he's of course is sitting there staring and mad because his girlfriend's hanging out with Thor. That's kind of hard to top that. But she's like, he's trying to like tell her, I'm gonna get you all this magic stuff, and I'm gonna save you, and I'm gonna go all over Asgard or the galaxy until I find something that will save you. And she's basically saying, don't bother, because every time you do shit like that, something bad happens. So I'm going to fight this cancer the natural way, the way we do on Earth with medicine and all that kind of stuff. So, and she's just telling him, and he's talking about he met the girl and he probably wants to maybe date her. Maybe he shouldn't bother because of what happens all the time and all that kind of stuff. And it's cool. And he takes it on the moon and they're hanging out. And then they also throw in images of the younger Thor when he goes back, because they all Thor, older Thor, present Thor, they're all had that fight with the God Bomb, but they all went back to their timelines. And so you can see how Thor has changed over the years. So his younger self just goes back and he just fucks a whole bunch of women on Earth. Like he hangs out. That's what he does. He's like, he just gets drunk and just has sex.
It's the opposite of Red Sonja.
The opposite of Red Sonja.
He wasn't cursed with the thing that says you cannot have sex until somebody bests you in battle.
Nah, that didn't happen with him. You can have sex all the time.
And I don't think Red Sonja could like fake it either, or it wouldn't work. Like, she couldn't let someone win.
No.
She has to go all out, and she's a badass fighter, man.
Yeah, she can't fake
it. Even with the plague, she's badass.
Exactly. And then finally you get to the older Thor when he's like, finally we have the Rainbow Bridge is repaired, and he hasn't been on Earth for eons because he was trapped by the God Killer. And you see Earth and it's all desolate, and you see all the thunder and the clouds all over it, and that's it. Like, you don't know what the fuck happened. So it was pretty cool.
Sounds like a good one. I'm really behind in that. I haven't even finished The God Killer.
Oh, man. It's one of my favorite runs of Thor besides... well, I love Dan Jurgens and, of course, Simonson's. And then I think this is high up there. This is in the top 10 of my favorites.
Has that been Jason Aaron the whole time?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about that run.
Yeah. It was a good Marvel Now book because you can pretty much jump into it and not read all the other Thor stuff and not feel like you're missing a whole lot. And it's pretty cool. What else did I read? I read the last Wonder Woman that ended the first arc, and it was like 22 issues. And it ended the whole thing with the gods and stuff and her trying to save the baby. And... because the baby was born, and of course it's that story of Zeus had a baby, you know, had got another woman pregnant on Earth, and it has been foretold that this baby will mean the end of the gods. So they want to kill the baby. And so you have Ares is trying to actually help Wonder Woman, even though he's an alcoholic and he's bored. He's basically bored of war and all that kind of stuff because he's fought for so long. And you have Orion is in it. The new gods, they introduce Orion. They introduce Highfather. And they pretty much want to wipe the hands of Wonder Woman and the whole thing. But Orion is pretty much like, I can't. It's funny because he's like, I can't not help Wonder Woman because that's not what you raised me to be like. You know, like I can't do that. And at the same time, Highfather scolds him and tells him you're not worthy, you don't listen and all this kind of stuff. But he kind of knew that would be the thing to spark him to help Wonder Woman, which is what he kind of wanted without giving him permission to do it. Because he kind of smiles when he's all disobeys him and goes off with Wonder Woman anyway. And then you have the first child, the first ones, I think they call him. And he's just an evil bastard of he came from Hera and Zeus, and he was just so bad and evil that they had to lock him in the earth because he was just so violent and he turned against everyone. So he escaped and he's trying to basically kill everybody, the baby, Diana, it doesn't even matter. He's trying to taunt them and kill them and punish them for leaving them, for deserting him. And so it's been a big battle of that. You know, a long battle of all of that. And then you had the other gods are basically trying to take the baby. Hera gets punished early in the series and she gets made into a mortal. So she's hanging out with Wonder Woman and she hates Wonder Woman. She already turns all the Amazons to clay. So she killed her sisters and she's still hates Hera. But you know, she's not going to kill her. And Hera kind of learns to humility while she's human. And she kind of bonds with the kid, with the baby. And she tries to actually help and save the baby, even though she has no powers. It's a long epic. It's been an epic story. It didn't connect with anything in the DC universe, the DC other titles. This has pretty much been its own self-contained book for the whole 23 issues. So if you're, you know, one of those who just wants to dip their toe in it and read it and not do a crossover or not buy anything else but just this, you can just pretty much just get this book and be fine. You don't have to worry about that.
Unless you're Bill, then you'll just get issue one.
Oh, yeah, you get issue one. Or if you're Keith, you only get the first copy. And if there's no other copies left, you just don't buy
it. Yeah, the first prints.
The first print has to be bought.
I don't think he's liking Wonder Woman. I think he's kind of like, but it's weird because he's so into that God stuff. You know what I mean?
Right, which is weird.
But weird because you think he would like love it. Like, well, but the only book that I see him excited about lately is Vibe.
Well, that's why I don't understand Keith. I love Keith. I've known Keith for years. But I always say Keith always surprises me because I could never count on his reaction to stuff. Like things I think he would love. Like Wonder Woman, Thor, I thought he would jump on stuff like that. He just
he's got that weird mentality, like, I can't read Thor. It's already 12 issues in.
Yeah.
And I didn't read all 350 some issues of that or Journey into Mystery, so I can't jump on. I don't know where that comes from. It's so frustrating because he was a kid. He didn't start with G.I. Joe number one. He started with one of the like 12 or 13.
I don't get it.
It's the same thing.
I don't know. Keith is the human condition because I can't ever determine which way he's going to go.
And the weird thing is he doesn't like that they rebooted to start back at number one. He liked it when they were continuing. So
right. I don't know.
He'd prefer they have high numbers. Maybe then he doesn't have to read anything.
See what I mean? He I don't know. I'd never know. His rules. Keith has rules, and I never understand what those rules are. If you ask him why these rules are in place, his explanation will give you a nosebleed. Because it's riddles. He tells you in riddles.
At least your rules I understand, Bill. Your rules are like, I like to try it so I can, if I remember, I'll buy the trade later on.
Right.
Keys make no sense. Like, the logic is just so weird. And it's not like he's a collector. He doesn't give a shit.
No, he doesn't.
Like, that's why the first print and second print thing just blows my mind. My mind because all he cares about is the story. He doesn't care about selling a first print or second print. He doesn't care.
Just says, I might not keep the issue, but it has to be a number one when, or a first print when I read it.
He like swore off 68, which he was liking. It was Vietnam and Zombies from Image Comics. You know why he swore off of it? Because the creator sold him a second print.
The law. Keith could live in the West. He would have a code that no matter what, he would stick to that code. He would never break his code. He would always stick to that code.
Did you see that picture that he gave me of the three of us? Where we're in front of the bathroom or whatever, it says men right above, and then we're all sucking in our guts, just the three of us. He actually looks like he could play like a Don Quixote or something.
He can.
I mean, he's got his mustache and he's got this like pompous look because he's sucking in his gut and his face, and it's like, damn, he could play Don Quixote. All we need to do is get him the hat, and he could cosplay all he wants.
Keith is Don Quixote. Keith is eclectic. He has the eclectic taste. He has his own code. He has, you know, this.
Well, isn't that what he does when he gets sketches and he asks for Don Quixote and they're like, I don't remember what he looks like. He just sucks in his gut and
I'll model
out his chin. Here you go.
I not only can model Don Quixote, but I could do Jesus Christ. That's his. I think he's gonna do that one next. He's gonna say, George Perez, I got one for you. Can you draw me Jesus Christ?
That's right.
Draw me as Jesus Christ.
That's right. I'm telling you. That's the way it is. Keith is Don Quixote.
That'd be an awesome sketch to ask for people. Can you draw me as Jesus Christ?
You should do that for next year. And he can skate like Jesus Christ Superstar. He can skate to the music. He can skate to Beastie Boys music.
I'm just going to ask, I want a picture of Keith Knutson as Jesus.
Oh, you want that? I can send that to you right now.
On roller skates.
Well, I can't do that.
I've seen the Jesus picture.
Seen a Jesus picture?
Yeah.
I have that one.
Yeah, he throws it out there like it's nothing. He's like, man, ask me to be Jesus.
It's so weird, too, because he looks like Jesus, and then you can see his face. You're like, that's Keith.
Keith, bless me right now, please. We about to drink this beer.
Yeah.
That's this beer that we about to drink. It's 12%. It's good.
It's too bad that artist doesn't sell prints of that.
Oh, if he did, he'd
we could be at a con selling pictures of Keith. And then we... That's what you should do it here at Comic-Con. We'll make prints of, like, all of Keith's, like, Africa Man and the Shadow Storm on the roof. You put them out just to see people's responses, right? You're seeing these prints. And then you're recording like their responses to see the prince. Like, what is this, Africa, man?
Keith, y'all would be perfect. Keith.
And then you try to keep a straight face like you're really trying to sell it.
I would interview Keith on a video and play the video at the table. Like asking him, wait for him to get really drunk and ask drunk Keith about the about Don Quixote. Like, what you mean you don't know Don Quixote? What? You don't know what Don Quixote is? Let me tell you about Don Quixote. And then he goes through the whole thing. And we'll just keep playing it. Like, well, then we'll ask him about Brown Arrow. Then we'll ask him about all the different things. We play Jesus. We'll play back episodes of the show.
So, Bill, he got a George Perez Don Quixote at the con. And he got... what's the guy? Sancho Pa? I can't remember this. His sidekick. The fat guy on the donkey.
I'm uncultured. I don't know this stuff.
Well, Garcia Lopez to do that character.
Mm-hmm.
That one was weird, though, because he had him do it inside of a... He, like, did a full sketch of that character. Like, he was all happy to do it because George Perez was even supposed to be Don Quixote in a play. So when he's like, you have to... He started singing the songs. He was drawing it.
And so, Keith is funny because they kept, every time he would show one of us in the group, like it's such a big group of people he knew. Every time he would show one of us in the group to Don Quixote, people would look and go, who is that? And then Keith would get that look on his face like, what?
Like all disgusted.
You don't know who Don Quixote is? And then he would go through the whole thing of telling you. And stuff. He did every time somebody would look at it and go, who is that? I don't know who that is.
And then Michael painted him a Don Quixote zombie.
Right.
So he had like a weekend full of Don Quixote.
He was like a pig in shit. He was so happy. He was just smiling.
How was the con?
Oh, it was wonderful.
Sounds like it was a good time.
I don't know if you got to see some of the pictures, but there were some really good pictures.
It's funny because Amy just texted me. She posted some of them. She put some together on the site. So that...
My favorite picture, there's two of my favorites. One of them is the one where I'm grabbing Chris Campbell's groin. And Chris has these eyes, like his eyes are popped out. And then if you look at his pants, he puts his finger in there like he's got a heart on. He put it in his pocket. It is so funny. And then I love the one with Rock and Hit Girl and Kick-Ass, because that girl looked like Hit Girl. Like it was uncanny. It was so uncanny. And yeah, Rock,
get over it.
Yeah, Rock, I couldn't get over it, man. It was like, that was like an awesome picture. But we took some awesome pictures, and you just posted a couple of them that I didn't have.
Yeah, I got to the group ones. She posted the group ones that I took.
I had the ones with five or six of us, but not the one with Jamie D, you know, the one with everybody.
Oh, right. It was when it was a bunch. It was just a bunch of animals in one spot.
It was fun. It was so much fun. On Friday, we got to the hotel, and we drove up with Daryl and Rock to Chris Campbell's house.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I ate Rock's meatballs, too.
Yeah. You ate his meatballs?
This weekend, I ate his meatballs.
Rock was so generous. I mean, he drove us a long way there and back. Like, Daryl stayed there the first night, right?
Yeah.
So he didn't drive back with us, but Rock drove us there and then back, and... he gave us, like, he had bought me and Barb, like, some Italian cookies. So those were really good because we hadn't eaten, man. We were on a flight. We ate breakfast, and we were starving.
And you fought Sasquatch.
We fought Sasquatch. I did. On the plane over there, it was most uncomfortable flight I ever had, Bill. there was just a big dude, man. I mean, he was huge. And I'm fat, right? But he just crossed over into my plane pretty big, like
yeah. Mike. We fat.
He was next to you.
Yeah, we're fat.
Me and you were fat.
The guy next to me was crossing into. I was in the middle seat, and he was, his whole big arm was in my seat.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's nothing I could do to avoid it, and it was either like I nestle up to him, try to be comfortable. But this guy was like had a muscle shirt and hairy arms. Like, okay. It was like Ulick the Troll. Like, he was getting ready to fight Thor, you know. But I was trying to avoid it, and I got off that plane so sore because I sat sideways the whole plane.
What did your wife tell you?
My wife says, "You asshole, establish authority, establish dominance."
Oh, is that where that came from?
She was telling me the whole flight, and then she was getting loud, and I'm like, she's like, "Mike, you go push him. You go push. You push him over and get your spot back." And she's just saying it loud, and I'm like, the guy's like 6 foot. I mean, he's like 6 foot and 350 pounds, and she's telling me to kick his ass.
So could he have moved his arm out of your seat, or is he just too big to?
No, I honestly believe that this man could not move his arm over into because
he's so wide.
He already had his other arm, and he kept getting bumped by the cart, like. Yeah. I mean, they like knocked the crap out of him one time because he was fast.
They were trying to establish their dominance.
Yeah.
Over the aisle.
Trying to get him beat up all weekend.
Just get in my heck.
That was her thing.
You go kick his ass. You go. I don't know.
Establish dominance right now.
But she was kind of.
When you're on a plane next to a stranger, you got to like. Establish that you want that armrest before they get to it.
Yeah,
I would have been happy losing the armrest. I had already lost the armrest. I would have been happy being able to seat straight, you know, sit straight.
Scared me.
You couldn't leave
I just didn't want to, like, Barb was like, you tell him, you push him into the aisle, you tell him. And I'm like, Barb, he's got no place to go. I mean, it's physics and it's mass and it accompanies space and you can't.
See, you were going with science and Barb was going with, she was just a Klingon. She just wanted to fight. Go kick his ass now. She did not care. No wonder she doesn't like Picard. She likes Kirk better.
Yeah, but she got the middle seat on the way back and she said, I'll show you how to establish dominance, but then this real skinny guy comes and sits.
She punched him in the face.
Punched him in the throat.
She said, Mike, I'm going to show you what I can do.
And she turned around and she punched him in the throat as hard as she could. That's what Barb does. She drives like that. Didn't she say she likes to move people to get out of her way?
Yeah. No, she drives and then she like follows them and then she like looks at them just so she could look at them, like give them that look. Give them the stank eye. I'm going to drive by them and I'm just going to put my head out the door and just give them a stank eye. I'm like, people have guns. You don't do that.
She shoots guns too. She's like the Punisher.
She's like the Punisher.
Yeah.
So the guy probably sat next to her and she looked at the armrest, then looked him in the eye and just shook her head. No.
She yelled, don't you do it. Don't you do it.
Don't even think about it.
Don't you do it. And she punched him anyway.
So on the second leg of the trip, we flown first class and that was fucking nice.
Oh, first class is always better.
Yeah, we got warm nuts in my mouth.
That's right. Even business class on a train is great.
Yeah.
You don't have 400 babies.
Wide-ass seats. They keep bringing you drinks, wine, and then they give you all this pretentious fucking meals. Like, here's salmon over some salad.
Oh,
I'm like all disappointed because I don't like pretentious meals. I want. Where's my greasy burger?
That meat. You would have loved that meat place. Like, you'd have loved. It was so much meat in my mouth. It was so much meat.
But Bill, we went to a CampbellCon, which Chris Campbell always has every year, and it's awesome. It's just a bunch of dudes that are talking nonsense for 2 hours and drinking and eating and he's got a nice setup. Like, he's got like his art all on the wall. He's got like wooden drawer for his comics. He's got his Transformers on display. And we all go down there, and then he's got like a sliding door, and then like half of the people were out back, like the 11 o'clock comics guys were out in the back, the backyard while we were in the house. Mm-hmm. But we had like this weird conversation, and it made you laugh. There was like some chairs against the wall, and if you were sitting in the middle, you couldn't get out. You literally couldn't get out without asking people to move. And I don't know how this came up, but we started talking about what was that movie? The Human Centipede.
Oh, right.
And man, we were talking a long time, and Robert Atkins was like, "What? The mountain is sold to the asshole?" And he was getting uncomfortable.
That poor man.
We're talking about that, and then we ended up in Crossed. We were talking about that one cover, you know, where the kids are like, they have that
the sawing the dude in half.
No, the lumber saw, and they have the girl. The girl. And upside down from crotch, and they're kind of sawing it, and they're using it like a teeter totter.
Very controversial cover.
Yeah. Oh, it was like a crazy cover, man. It's
that caused creative arguments on Twitter from creators, from different creators.
Yeah, I have that cover too. Believe it or not,
I believe it, Mike.
You get all the torture covers,
all of it. You read Cross. You love Cross. That's fine.
The thing I get about the torture covers, Bill, is because they're so bad. They're like
I know they're worse than the inside. Like,
in some states, I bet you'd get arrested for having that in your car.
Mike, you're a married man. You're not supposed to be reading that stuff.
Don't cross any borders with that issue in your car.
No, you're transporting porn. They'll probably say that you're transporting porn across states.
Yeah. It's a crazy cover. But we talked about that. Robert Atkins is trying to get out.
He couldn't get out. He's trapped. He
couldn't escape.
Then we talked about Human Centipede 2 and, you know, the millipede. And
I think I was too drunk by then.
Ask the Mouth, because Michelle... No apologies. You know, there's Tom King. He's an author. He's one of the co-hosts of No Apologies with Daryl. And there was one episode where he didn't know what ass to mouth meant. So Michelle, you know how loud Michelle is. She said, "You're the ass to mouth guy."
Yes, she did. And then she goes, "Keith." She goes, "Keith," from across the room.
Keith, it's the ass to mouth.
Keith gets all red. He's just
shaking his head like,
"Oh Lord, oh Lord, give me another drink. Let me get another drink."
Or really listen to that episode on the way up or something.
Yeah. But she actually listens to. We had dinner. Me and she came up to New York first. They both came up to drove up to New York before they went down to Baltimore. So me, Gil, Cologne, and Keith and Michelle, we had dinner and we're talking, and she says, "I listen to No Apologies too." And then she mentions Ass to Mouth, and I was like, "Oh." And then Keith is sitting there going, "Oh Lord. Oh Lord." And we, yeah, that sparked it. So when she saw Tom, that kind of.
And then now he's like, an ass to mouth guy. Huh?
And then it went into discussions of felching, and by then Rob was like pitch red. Like, how do I get out of here? He was gonna throw like a snake eyes underneath the table. I just knew it. He's crawling like he was in a minefield or something. I was like, help!
Basically, he rolled a 6, and he was not happy. He was trapped in that room with us. Not good for Robert. Not at all.
But it was a great time, man. And then a lot of people are so generous. They bring like collections of stuff, and mm-hmm. like Star Jones gave me Daryl and Keith some stuff. And
oh man, I got Star Wars. He gave me the Empire trade, and Rock gave me a nice cool cup, a glass, Star Trek glass. And
yeah, Rock great. Gave us a ton of stuff. John Thurman gave me, like, he knows that I've been talking a lot about Howard Chaykin. So he, like, brought me tons of Howard Chaykin, like Power and Glory from Malibu. And
oh, that's good stuff.
Just a lot of Howard Chaykin stuff. and a lot of stuff that I talked about, like either on Facebook or on the podcast, he knows that I like. So he gave me a ton of stuff. And then Chris Campbell gave me like Astonishing Tales number one with Kazar and Dr. Doom, which had a Kirby work in there, and Wally Wood is pretty awesome. So I got a lot of. If you go to that con, if you go to Campbell Con, Bill, ever, you don't even have to shop. I mean, you already have. you already have. The only thing that you don't have going on is sketches, and if that happens ever, people start to get artists to do sketches, but. It is fun, man. It's like just a social gathering, and you never know what you'll be talking about next.
It is, Bill. You gotta go. You can't.
Yeah, one year I'll make it happen.
You gotta come. Elevator Man has to go.
Yeah, I couldn't stop thinking about you, Bill, because.
Oh, the elevator
incident. Michelle told us about the elevator incident. She actually did a hell. And they're in the elevator, and she yells, "Help!" Because there's a used condom in the corner of the elevator that they were staying. They were staying at Lord Baltimore, and there was a condom in the elevator. So they needed your help, Bill.
Classy.
It was used.
Oh, it was classy, all right. Keep it classy.
She's screaming, "Keith, don't pick him up! Don't pick it up.
Don't pick it up.
Don't touch it."
Oh,
because he is known to.
I don't know. You never know what Don Quixote will do.
Don Quixote is a.
He attacks windmills. You don't know what he's going to do when he sees a used condom.
See that as a crusade to find out who did it. You don't do things like that.
We can sequence their DNA.
Yeah. I will find the culprits. Bring them to justice. I'm not Don Quixote.
That was a lot of fun.
Good thing he's not like cybopathic or whatever it is from Chew.
Oh, man. Michelle, I have to do this.
Sorry.
I'm sorry, but you
know I need to know who did this.
This is for justice. For justice, I have to do it. But it was great, man. Oh, and I was actually there when Keith got another badge, when he did the beer badge at New York when he does the app. I actually know what it looks like when Keith gets to the place and then gets his first beer. And goes on his phone and puts it in. And
how happy was he when he?
Oh, the joy on his face!
It's lit up. It's like a video game for him.
It is. It lights up for him. He gets so happy when the badge comes.
So does he like look for a beer that he doesn't have, and then?
It's a science. It's a science. He gets the orders it, and then he looks, and he goes to the badge, and he puts it in. I guess he puts the name or whatever in, and then. I think it said something like 100,000 something points or something. I don't know what it was. I don't even know. But he has beer down to a science, so he knows what to do. It's all part of his. That's his human condition. To get all the beer, he get to drink all the different beers in the world. All the beers in the world. Oh, we talked about Poon.
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about Poon. I love you, Poon.
How was the con itself? The actual con.
Great.
Is it about the same size as Heroes, or?
It seems like it's the same format.
Pretty much.
Same thing as Heroes. Maybe a little smaller. I mean, definitely, it was more crowded because you know how Heroes had all that extra space. Were you there this year? You weren't there this year. Heroes had like got another square. They like added a lot more square footage, so the hall, like if you were in an aisle, you wouldn't feel cramped. Like you could just hang out in the aisle. Whereas this one, you're still crunched up. Like, but I saw the comic book man. They were giving away Cryptozoic number one. So I got to Yeah, they're giving it away. So I got it. I got a signed copy of that, and I got this. No, I didn't really talk to any of them really because it was such a big line. And I told Walter Flanagan that I liked his Batman work with Kevin Smith, and he's like, "Yeah, that's cool." And then
were they filming the show there too?
Yeah, it was. That was funny because they asked for like. You have to sign a waiver, and then they take a picture of your signature and all that shit. Yeah. They had done that twice to me, like once when I was walking in the con, and then during when I was in line for Cryptozoic. But it's so like staged, Bill, because it's like they'll go get this hottest girl, right? Like this hottest cosplayer, right. And then they're like I'm in line, right? And then they'll say, sorry, but we're cutting somebody in here. Now I have this hot cosplayer in front of me. And they're like, okay, you go up there. And then they just kind of...
And they're surprised to see her.
Yeah, exactly. I'm so surprised. I didn't know she was going to be here today. It's amazing.
And the one guy, Mike, he told me, he goes, you have a Sergeant Fury on, but you say you're from DC Noise. I'm like, that doesn't mean shit. I said, our show is no format whatsoever.
Not at all.
It could be Dungeons and Dragons. I don't know. Roll a six.
That's right. Because you're on DC Noise, the only thing you're allowed to like is DC Comics. That is the rule. He was just showing off the fact that he knew it wasn't a DC comic.
Well, they were being filmed, so they wanted to say, things.
Yeah, they had to crack wise, as they say.
Yeah, they have to wisecrack, basically. That's what that was.
So anyone who had a shirt on or whatever, they were, if they could get a good line in, they would
whip. Yeah, the one guy in front of me, I felt bad for him because he was taller than me. Man, he was tall. But he was, like, dressed up as one of the Doctor Who's in line. And I guess he was underage. So he couldn't get in line to... He had to go get his parents' signature.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so he could...
You couldn't go in line until you signed the...
Yeah, until you signed that thing. So he had to get a parents' signature because he was under 18.
Yeah, you have to sign that so you can pretend to just be there at that time.
So if you... So if you're underage and your parents weren't there, you couldn't get a free comic?
Well, I think they might have gave you a free comic, but they'd have to, like, stop the line because you can't – they'd have to cut the camera. Yeah, stop the cameras. Yeah.
Yeah. Because they could sue. They could say the child was you had the child on TV without permission. They can sue them.
So we might see someone we know on TV.
Yeah, me and Rock went there to the store, and they actually had a couple from New Zealand that came up there thinking that Kevin Smith and all of them were going to be there hanging out. And they're like, no.
None of them were there.
None of them. Because they actually, see, that's what happens when you fake that shit on the show, because it makes you think that they're just hanging out at the store all the time. That's just what they do.
And maybe none of them are at the store.
None of them were at the store.
Not unless the cameras are there.
Not unless the cameras are there. So,
but I did think that was cool to get the... Because I got to see the art and stuff. It looks like a cool comic. I wanted to read it before the show, but I just didn't have time.
Yeah, the art looks really good, huh? Or the cover did it. Yeah.
And then I got some more Andrew Peepoy sketches. I got a Phantom Lady and a Lady Blackhawk.
So did you tell him to do that pose for...
No, I let him go... The cool thing about Andrew is I just say, he always asks me, well, what do you want? And I say, use your imagination. Mm-hmm. And then he says, he kind of like, I think he likes it. Like, he likes to use his imagination. He doesn't want to be told what to do.
He likes smut like the rest.
He's like,
I'm imagining a girl's
standing her and picking up the hat. And she has like a black, the symbol of the Blackhawk. On her pennies.
Well, he knows from my, he must listen to the show, and he knows I like for them to sit on my face. I love a beautiful woman to sit on my face, so he must have thought, sit on my face. Black Hawk panties.
And then he did a Phantom Lady, like a side view where you can barely see the strap. It almost looks like she's like totally nude, but You can see the strap if you look real careful.
I don't look that careful. I just want to know.
And well, then I got a...
He'll be whipping out his eraser.
I got a Dan Parent Phantom Lady. You know, he does Archie Comics.
Archie, yeah.
And I got a Dean Stahl, Beautiful Dreamer, and Big Bear.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's good stuff.
That's a lot of sketches.
Yeah, yes. I got a lot of sketches, and I didn't buy a lot. I already had a lot to take home after the CampbellCon.
CampbellCon.
I did buy...
it's easier to bring sketches home.
Yeah, I did buy for Treasury editions. I bought, I bought Howard the Duck. I bought two Tarzan Treasury editions, and I bought the Bible Treasury edition. Yeah, it's a Joe Kubert drawn Bible. I'm not real religious. I just wanted the Joe Kubert.
The art.
Yeah.
Those are oversized, right?
Yeah, they're those giant size comics.
Yeah. Which actually, I had some of those as a kid, and I thought I'd lost them, but I found them in my basement in a box.
Ah.
I was very excited.
And I bought a...
I don't have the Bible, though.
What else did I get? Mark Poulton's trade.
Oh, right. You did.
And I bought some Mark Poulton, like, he has some stuff for kids. I bought those for my niece.
Who's that guy?
Mark Fulton.
He did Hawkman. I'm gonna say he did do Hawkman.
he did Hawkman.
You could tell the difference when Rob Liefeld's writing something.
He did the stuff that made sense about Hawkman.
Yeah, he did the good stuff about Savage Hawkman. And his book is Coney Waves, and it looks like. Yeah. Like, I don't know a lot about it, but it sounds like it's like vampires in Hawaii or something.
Mm-hmm. And he also does Evangeline online now.
Yeah, I did buy that. Do you remember that when I was... I think I reviewed it on the show a couple times, Evangeline.
I think you did.
Yeah.
So, and he'll be doing a new one for Action Lab, I think, in 2014. He'll, called All Heroes Must Die. Or Versus.
That's cool.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Good guy. Talented guy.
What'd you get, Daryl?
I got that same thing you got from Mark. I didn't really mind anything. I got Five Ghosts.
Oh, you didn't have it already?
I had the digital. I bought the digital issues, but I know the writer, and he was kind enough to hook me up with because he had just got them off the press. Like he had just got them before the con, and brought them up there.
Man, the artist on that is crazy good.
Oh my god, it's so good. I got that. I got what else? Like, I didn't really buy too much.
I know you drew the next volume, didn't you?
Yeah. I did get that trade. That's right. I bought that the last day. That's right. But I've been trying to slim down the how much books are in my house. I'm ready for Donnie to come get them so I can get them all out of my basement, and then I'll be happy.
I read Forever Evil. I want to talk a little bit about that because we didn't get to talk about it last night.
Go for it.
I liked it. I liked it a lot. What I liked especially is the Lex Luthor scene at the beginning because he we're getting emergency flood warnings again.
Uh-uh.
You hear it?
No.
Like beeping noises?
Uh-uh. I don't hear it. It's raining. It's
flash flood warnings on my cell.
So how much rain are you actually getting by you? Like, are you in danger of flooding or?
Probably not. But I know people's basements are flooding. Like if your window wells, I guess, are in the wrong spot when it starts flash like raining hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna come in through the window well in the basement.
Yeah, because you're getting like inches in minutes, right?
Oh yeah, it's bad. I mean, just to tell you how bad it is, I mean, just to give you some kind of scope, there's still 400 people missing in Boulder. Like, they don't know where they are. They don't know, like, if they're at a friend's house or, that whole mountain county in that area. Ooh. It's like, they've tried to catalog everybody and try to find them, and there's about 400 people they haven't been able to find. So it's pretty bad.
How long is it going to be like this?
I don't know. We've never had this much rain. We've been in a drought the last 10 years. So it's like we're having the complete opposite happen right now. It's like Seattle. We get clouded over every day, and in the afternoons we get these heavy downpours. So that's pretty crazy.
It's crazy. See, I don't like nature. I'm telling you, when we move to the dome cities, great. You don't have to worry about all that stuff.
But back to Forever Evil, it opens up with Lex Luthor. Well, he's out of prison now. He's got his corporation back in business.
Right.
And one of the first things he wants to do is acquire Cord Industries. They mentioned Theodore Cord, which may or may not be... I mean, he's obviously related to Ted Cord in some fashion, but we haven't seen Ted Cord yet.
I don't know, because if it's his father, that means Ted Cord is young.
Yeah, this might be his father. But he's saying, I want to buy your company. And Theodore Cord says, I'm not ready to sell my company. It's been in my family forever, and I don't want to do business with you. Well, Luthor doesn't like that too much. So he's ready to take him out. But coincidentally, there's a huge explosion in the sky because chaos is happening everywhere because the crime syndicate is now on Earth Prime, or whatever you want to call it, the new 52 Earth Prime. Mm-hmm. And there's explosions everywhere. It takes the helicopter down. And he kind of does... He lets Theodore Cord fall to his death, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. So maybe that'll lead to some Ted Cord. But the impression you get from this book and all these villains books, if you're reading carefully, there's an underlying tone. These villains don't fucking like the crime syndicate coming to their Earth and causing chaos.
Yeah, because they took it over completely.
They are like, who are these fuckers, and why are they telling me what to do? Why are they bossing me around? Like, you get the impression that Luthor is, like, going to say, fuck you all.
Well, you heard what he said. He's like, nobody fucks up Superman.
Yeah, that's right.
That's but what I want to do.
That's my job.
Yeah.
But the other key thing that happens in here is that... Nightwing's taking Zaz to Arkham Asylum, and he's on the phone with Barbara, and he's dropping her off, and he gets punched in the face like at super speed, like, I mean, knocked out in no time, and a golden barbed wire lasso just like kind of hangs him, and that it leaves it there, but it looks like Crime Syndicate has got they're actually going to like places like penitentiaries and insane asylums and releasing everybody because they just want chaos to cause the Earth to just cause an apocalypse. Because that's what they did on their Earth. They destroyed the shit out of it.
Yeah, now they're ready to destroy
another Earth.
Yeah.
So you see that happen in several places, even in Central City at Iron Heights. The rogues are going to free the Trickster and Deathstorm and their version of Green Lantern. What is the Green Lantern's name? Power Ring? Power Ring.
Yeah, Power Ring.
They free people, and then Ultraman is doing stuff in Gotham City and breaking people out, and they're kind of assembling all the villains. But what you're seeing is like all the big guns, like Black Manta, Grodd, Luthor, all these guys are like, They haven't like united to form a front yet, but like they're, who the hell are you? I'm gonna go kick your ass, because they have their own ideas of world dominance. And they don't like these guys interfering. So one of the big things that happens in this is they unmask Nightwing in front of all the villains. And they're saying, well, we can go attack everybody that he knows and loves. And
yeah, they put all his info up, too.
Yeah. His driver's license, everything. And Luther has the same expression like he did when he found out who the Flash was in Justice League Unlimited. He's like, he unmasks Wally and he's like, who's this? I've never seen it before. He's like, Dick Grayson? Who the hell is Richard? I thought that was kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
So, like the similar reply. But it was awesome. And then they have these 3D covers, which if you look them online, it doesn't do it justice. You actually have to have them in front of your face to see the 3D effect, but they're pretty damn awesome. And so far, I must say I've read two Matt Kent ones. Oh, God, they're good. I read Solomon Grundy and Deadshot, and they're probably my two favorite books, with the exception of The Court of Owls, which was by Tinian. Oh my God, that Court of Owls was good.
Yeah, those are the ones I didn't get.
The Court of Owls was like,
they weren't in my pile because Mike is the reason why I was able to read any of them.
The Court of Owls is terrifying. I mean, their cult is like secretly trying to run Gotham City, and if you go against them, you're pretty much dead.
Yep.
One of the mayors was trying to bring in unions. He was trying to bring in unions to try to help the workers and help things out. And they basically said, you're going to send these unions away. And he's like, no, I'm not. And then they threatened his life. And he sent them away and they killed him anyway. These people are awful. I mean, they're awful. And they train them. They train their sons and daughters to be killers. And like at a young age, because this one guy's going, he's saying, we'll survive this chaos because in Gotham, there's people tearing apart windows, doors, storefronts. Everything's being destroyed. And this guy's taking his daughter to like where the Court of Owls have this thing way underground and says, we could be protected here. We're going to release this item. And there's one Talon or one owl that's saying, you can't release the first one. It's kind of like you can't release. It's almost like the Green Lantern one when they were trying to release the first Green Lantern.
Right.
They were like, you can't release this first owl. You can't do it. It's going to cause chaos. And she tries to stop the father and daughter, and the daughter just grabs a knife and cuts her throat, man. Whack! And, God, it's just, I can't remember who did the art on it, but man, the art is, I think it's Miguel, I'll pull it up real quick. The artist probably was really good for this tone of book. Jorge Lucas does a damn good job. There's a lot of artists in these villains books that I have never seen before, but their art is like phenomenal. Like I haven't read one book that I thought the art was crap. But I've enjoyed Villains Month, especially the second batch. Second batch, Daryl is better than the first, I think.
Well, I think the Creeper one was the one I really didn't like.
But you don't read Katana.
But I like the Creeper. No, I mean, I'd rather it be the Creeper.
This Creeper is like totally different, and I'm okay with that, because if you're going to do the new 52, do it so it's different. Don't sit on the fence and make me think it's the same. You gotta.
He doesn't even look like the Creeper. Like he.
No, it's like a Japanese demon.
Yeah, That was a little weird one.
I don't think I would have liked the Creeper if I wasn't reading Katana and I didn't know all the backstory. You know what I mean?
Right.
If I wasn't reading Katana, I probably would have thought the Creeper was shit. But I like it because I've been reading Katana. I like the Count Vertigo. The one thing about these things is sometimes they're making you feel sympathetic for some of these villains, because you like look at some of their backstory and it's pure hell.
Not Grodd, man. If there was one book that was hard to read because I hated the villain so much, was the Gorilla Grodd, which was done by the Flash team, Brian Buccellato. I can't even talk right now. But Brian Buccellato did it, and I hated him. I don't like monkeys that much anyway, but he was just so damn evil, man. He was just killing humans for no reason. He killed his own, the head of the apes, after they were trying to build everything back and try to win the trust of the humans and whatnot. And he just came along, and he has the Speed Force now. So he has the Speed Force, and it accelerated his telepathy to the point where it's stronger than everyone else's now. Because telepathy, as you get older, it gets stronger. And, oh, man, it was horrible, man. I just want the Flash to come out and just kick this guy's ass. Because I hated it so much. He just made me so mad because there's no heroes in it. Like, there's no heroes to fight Rob.
Yeah, but there's some books that, like Two-Face, that was interesting because Two-Face was a hero in this book because he flipped his coin and it came heads up. So he was killing villains. He was taking out his own people. And Darkseid was interesting because he was evil to the core from the beginning. Totally different.
Have they released the sales numbers on those?
Not yet.
Oh, that'd be a little bit before they can do that.
Well, the orders, I guess just the initial orders are in, right?
Well, they had under-ordered, so...
Mm-hmm.
If there was 100,000 copies sold of these books, then they under-ordered them by 40%. They should have made they should have made 140,000 copies. They under-ordered. That's a pretty big percentage of under-ordering a book. But I guess a lot of money went into making the covers. And they are heavy. Like, when you get a DCBS box and these things are in the box, the box is fucking heavy. And there's only 13 books. I mean, the covers are heavy. Like, you could feel the difference when you're holding the cover. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's some wicked thunder. Probably get taken out here.
Have you lost power at all?
Not yet. Knock on wood.
Yeah, not yet.
I'm gonna go.
I read
something.
What?
From Black Mask Studios, which is the Steve Niles Bad Religion book. Or company, Ballistic, number one, from Adam Egypt Mortimer and Derek Robertson. Did you read this one, Mike? Forget it.
No, I bought it. I haven't read it yet.
It's really good. It's fun and an interesting setup. So it takes place in, I don't know if they actually say where it takes place. It's the future anyway. Or at least or an alternate Earth, where technology is kind of a mix between electronic and alive, and what's it called? Like physical. So, for example, his car has wings, his gun talks and has a personality, so different things are alive in this world. And the main character is a HVAC repairman who, when he goes to work on these things, he has to work on basically the creatures that are making up the HVAC system. So it starts out where he gets a call to go to this gangster's house to work on his HVAC system. And then he gets into a little bit of trouble there. And I guess this HVAC guy he's kind of like a badass, kind of darker kind of character, he wears dark glasses and just kind of has like a greaser type haircut, sideburns and slick back hair. And he has this super awesome gun that's alive and can do different things. And it like plugs itself kind of into his arm when he like shoots. So it's cool. And then he finds out that he owes the mob guys some money, and he overhears them talk about something at this bank. So he decides he's going to go rob this bank and take the money. So it goes from there. The book is really interesting in a couple of ways. The art is awesome. So it's Derek Robertson, who has done a bunch of stuff in the past. Mm-hmm. I think he did Boys, right?
Yeah.
Most recently.
Wolverine he's done.
Yeah, so, I mean, most people have probably seen his art before, and it's certainly...
Yeah, Transmetropolitan.
Transmet he did. And his art in this is, I mean, up there in terms of his art. He really put it all out there. But, you know, as is the case with creator-owned stuff, sometimes you do your better stuff in the stuff that you're actually going to make money off of, potentially. So the art is really good. The coloring is real good too. I don't know who did that. Let's see. Diego Rodriguez did the coloring. It's interesting. And the second way it's interesting is in all the technology that they bring into this. And there's actually a whole section at the back where the writer talks about the like for each page where there's technology, he lists the research he did to figure the technology out. So when he's talking about, here, like page one, it says, Junior's brass knuckle weapon is loaded with instant carcinogen, an illegal weaponized aflatoxin. Aflatoxins occur in nature, blah, blah, blah. And he talks about like the actual research he did. So it seems like all of the technology in here, while not real technology, it's based on actual things that he researched. So it's pretty interesting. And that's like about four pages of breaking down the pages and explaining the technology on the pages. So it's really cool. And the other thing is, there's like, there's one scene where they went to a restaurant, and at the restaurant you can eat cloned human.
It looked like steak?
No, it looked like human.
Oh.
What, you mean like a torso? You could buy a torso and arm? Or...
Well, she's eating it. The one girl was eating a hand.
That's disgusting.
No. I don't want that. If they could look like steak or something, then I'd probably do it.
But it's cloned.
If it looked like a female foot, then Daryl would eat it.
Oh, I'd eat a female foot.
He'd be like, chocolate sauce? I want some chocolate sauce on that foot.
Look at like a lollipop. Walking around with it, looking at people. Hey. Look at it. What's going on?
That's disgusting.
It's great.
So it was good. I enjoyed it. It was a...
Yeah, I tried to look up this Adam Ejim Mortimer. Is he one of the band members or what? What is he? Because I don't see any comics work from him.
No, I'm not. I think I looked him up, but I can't remember what I found out about him. I thought he had done something, but I don't think he has a long history in writing. I'm not sure, though. I don't know. It was good, though. I enjoyed it.
So what are you going to do with the Black Mass stuff? Are you going to wait for trade, or are you going to...
Yeah. I think they solicited the first trade, or the trade of Liberator this month. Yeah, I'll get the trades of all those. Well, Occupy Comics, I got the single issues.
Mm-hmm.
The other ones, all.
I haven't read that yet. Yeah. It looks very dense. Like,
it's very dense.
It would take me an hour and a half to read that.
And it makes you very mad, too.
Does it really?
Yeah. Well, when you read about all the corruption and all the bullshit that's been done to us.
Mm-hmm.
And how people... Apparently, people can fuck with the economy and get away with it.
Like the Court of Owls.
Yeah.
Rich people pull the strings, man.
Yep.
That's why I need to be rich, so I can stop.
And it's probably even to the point where some of the rich people could affect technology growth. Because some people might not want to have technology growth. Like if you're pumping gas, right? If you're an oil guy and there's an alternative to gas, then...
Well, they do that.
Yeah. I mean,
that's why the hybrids are more expensive sometimes than just a regular car.
So it's an effed up situation. But
yeah, and they can make sure the money goes to the right places and the laws are in their favor. And
yeah.
Yeah, Teslas are freaking expensive. For them damn electric cars. And like, who the hell can buy one? If you're not rich already.
Yeah. What else, Bill?
What else did I read?
I got one while you're thinking. I read I read Mighty Avengers number one.
Oh, I love that book.
This one... Who was the creative team on it? Oh, Greg Land.
And Greg Land.
And
Greg Land.
I didn't know what to expect from this book. I thought it was an unusual team in the solicit. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Daryl and them had a big conversation about it on No Apologies. I had already pre-ordered it because I like Luke Cage. I mean, I like to follow Luke Cage and Jessica and find out what the hell's going on. And it had, you know, Captain Marvel on the cover. It has, mm-hmm. you know, Superior Spider-Man. Who was the other one? White Tiger.
Yeah, Power Man. He took the name as a teenager now.
Power Man, though, wasn't on the cover of the original solicit, was he?
I think he was.
Okay. Because Power Man came up in, like, pretty big in the Shadowlands crossover.
Yeah.
That's where, like, he, you know, like Danny Rand was trying to mentor him. Like he was the young gun that wanted to cause power trouble, but he kept him on the straight and narrow. And this book didn't start like I expected it to. It went like the Heroes for Hire direction, and they were actually getting paid to do stuff. And they were paid to, I guess, protect a certain area. And there was this weird villain. What was his name? The Pouncer or the
Plunderer.
The Plunderer.
Yeah, he's an old school.
And they made fun of him like crazy because the author or the writer of the book kept on using plunderers and plunder and these outrageous speeches that he was saying. And they had to stop him. They were, you know, paid to stop him. And then him, Power Man, you know, because Luke Cage isn't Power Man anymore. He's just Luke Cage. He's just Cage.
Right.
And, Power Man, the young kid, and White Tiger, and then Doc Ock shows up, you know, and kind of gives him a speech, which makes White Tiger quit. She says, fuck this, I want to be a hero, I don't want to have to get paid for all this stuff, and makes Luke second guess his decision, kind of, right? And then Power Man, I think, wants to stay the course, and I don't know if he's even going to be with the group anymore, because he kind of just leaves.
Yeah, because Luke kind of didn't want to... He didn't want to quit the Avengers, but he just had a baby and he wanted to be safe. You know, he wanted to... His wife didn't want him to be in danger and she kind of wanted him to...
I thought Jessica gave him an ultimatum, kind of.
She did. She did. She established dominance and she told him... She did a barb. She said, if you continue to be an Avenger, I'm going to take the baby and we're going to go somewhere... Because you can't live with us because it's a dangerous life. I can't keep a baby in this lifestyle because it's too dangerous. So he said he'll do it, but he didn't want to, but he did it anyway. So he'd rather be an Avenger, though. That's what he always wanted to be.
Did they already have the baby?
Yeah.
Baby
already.
So she waited to bring this up till after they had the baby?
Oh, that happened when she gave him the ultimatum. They already had the baby, In other words, they were living in Avengers Mansion with the baby and having Squirrel Girl babysit.
Right. So she changed her mind.
She was
like a woman.
Squirrel Girl was a competent babysitter. She really was. She saved shit.
But when you live in Avengers Mansion and you get kind of invaded every few weeks,
you have to be competent. But meanwhile, Thanos is invading the Earth because all the other Avengers have left. What is that female character that's working for Thanos? Do you remember her name? I can't remember her name.
The one working for Thanos?
Because I haven't been reading Infinity.
I forgot her name too. It's some crazy, because she's new.
Thanos wanted her to attack Atlantis, and she said, "Well, I'll attack Atlantis, but let me attack New York first." So she goes to attack New York, and that's when this new team of Avengers seems to form, which is Superior Spider-Man, Captain Marvel, and then there's a mysterious character, maybe you know who it is, who's in this weird, colorful Spider-Man costume.
I don't know, because I know that Blue Marvel was supposed to join the team down the line. I don't think it's him. Someone is going to be Ronin. Someone is going to take that costume Ronin had, that first Hawkeye had it for a little while when he came back to life.
Yeah.
When she brought him back to life in Avengers. And then Echo used it when she didn't know what she wanted to do. And now someone else is going to take that mantle. It's somebody we know. I know Al said it's somebody that we've seen before, but he hasn't revealed who it will be.
Well, that was a good comic.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a fun comic. I liked the dialogue, especially.
Have you thought of what else you've read, Bill?
I had to think about it. I looked around. Yeah. I read, for you fans of Adventure Time out there, I read the Bravest Warriors Volume 1 trade, which is created by the dude who created Adventure Time, which I don't read.
Why?
I don't get Adventure Time.
I mean, you don't get the cartoon, or you don't get it because you never got it physically.
No, well, what I've seen of it, I couldn't get into it.
You're not the target audience.
Yeah. I guess I'm not the target audience.
But Bravest Warriors, you are.
I am the right.
That sounds weird.
Bravest Warriors, I'm the target audience for. I think, well, this is more, so Bravest Warriors is about four space adventurers going to out in space on adventures, where I think Adventure Time is a little boy and his dog going to different fantasy lands or something. Am I right on? Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't watch Adventure Time or Bravest Warriors. Don't watch it.
Okay, we'll go with that then. So I think this is more sci-fi. So I like sci-fi more than fantasy, I think. Anyway, so this is a. They have a cartoon of it, but it's on YouTube and not on TV. So I'm not sure why, but anyway. So this follows the Bravest Warriors, who are these four adventurers. And so I read the first issue before and I liked it a lot. And one of my favorite parts was they made cupcakes and then they made the cupcakes fight. So the cupcakes were battling throughout the issue. In the subsequent issues, they get a mission where they have to go to this planet of clowns. This clown planet.
Oh, no. I don't like that.
Where something is making the clowns sad, and they have to figure out what it is. Like, the clowns are being tormented by these monsters who are making them sad. And you find out I can't remember the bad guy's name. She's like the sadness or something. Anyway, so yeah, and one of the guys on the team is afraid of clowns, so he wears this special mask that makes them look like they're not clowns. And that's the only way he can survive for all these freaky clowns. So then they have to find the bad guy and beat the bad guy, so they can free the clowns from this sadness. And it's all very humorous and funny, and it's really well done, and I enjoy it. I enjoyed it a lot. So if you're an Adventure Time fan, I would say pick it up. And if you don't like Adventure Time, but you like that kind of thing, then maybe try it out. It's good. Kaboom!
You watch it?
Adventure Time?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, Bravest Warriors.
I've watched it on YouTube, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, check it out on YouTube. Bravest Warriors.
I read a weird book called Exsanguine on the airplane. It's I can't even think his name.
Is it Tim Seeley?
Tim Seeley, yeah. Did you read that?
No, I know of it though. Dark Horse, right?
Yeah. It's an unusual. I liked it because it's in the horror genre, and it was an unusual story. It's kind of like a story of a serial killer, and that you think it's a vampire because there is a vampire in the story, but it's not the vampire. It's this other girl that's killing people and framing the vampire. And man, it's got a lot of twists and turns, but I enjoyed it. I read it in trade, so I think it's only 5 issues worth. And then it kind of ends like it could continue if they wanted to. Because they said it's like one of those things, the end, but it could keep going based on what's going on with the story. But it's unusual. Very unusual. Because one of the serial killers is a woman. And she's framing this vampire, and she had this weird father who was kind of abusive to the mother and the daughter. And he would always he was like an author, but it almost seemed like he was a demon, but they didn't get into it much. But anytime the girl got punished, he would take this pen, you know, like one of those pens that you dip in the ink and then write with, and he'd cut it into her arm, like he cut like a weird symbol into her arm. And it would form blood, and then he'd write these symbols in a book. And, man, it's just twisted. It's a twisted book. There's a lot of murders in here. There's a detective and a female detective, a male and a female detective, and they're trying to uncover what's going on. And there's a weird twist in there that I don't want to spoil because that's kind of like what the book is about, is to get to the twist. And, it is really good, and you can't really guess what's happening. That's what's good about the book. And then I read Thunder Agents number 1 from IDW. This one this one is the first time, I think it's the first time, that I pre-ordered something, and DCBS hasn't been able to get it to me because they got under-ordered or whatever. I guess ordered a bunch of copies and then they never got them from Diamond. So I never got Thunder Agents number 1. Like it's still in my, but I went and procured it because I wanted it on eBay. And, I liked it. I mean, it's definitely a different take of the Thunder Agents, but it's pretty cool. Especially, I guess I'm not that invested with the characters anyway. So they could do a lot of changes and I wouldn't notice. And then Lords of Mars, which is a crossover between Tarzan and the Warlord of Mars, John Carter. And that was really good. I like that. Another Dynamite book. I like Dynamite, man. I should do a Dynamite podcast.
You should.
But that's all the comics. You guys have any others?
I read Infinity. What else did I read? I read Infinity. I read Superior Spider-Man. What else did I'm catching up on? I have the Black Bat, like I said before. I've also read, what else did I read? East of West with Jonathan Hickman and Dragota, Nick Dragota. I caught up on that.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it's a crazy story. It's nobody
about gods.
Not even about gods. It's more just about death and greed and selfishness, and you know, death has returned, and the people in charge have kind of been just greedy and treated people badly, and now that death is back, and they don't want to give up power, and they've been trying to get rid of him and his wife. They took his wife away, and his death's wife's father was exiled from his from where he came from, I think Japan or China, and he built his own little empire and captured his daughter, and the daughter had his daughter's sister pretty much hated her and wanted to kill her, and the father was like no, and death came for her, and they had an epic battle, and death pretty much took everybody out almost, and killed the father, and then the father they gave up power to the daughter, so now she is the head of this massive kingdom, and it's left off like that, and you don't know where she's gonna go, like what direction she's gonna take. It's pretty crazy. What else can I think of? Sheltered is another one. That's with Johnny Christmas and Ed Brissom, and it's from Image, and it's basically this group of people who have, they live on their own militia. They have like their own militia, and it's has the two fractions of the militia, and they think that someone's coming to attack it. And what really happens, it's the first issue is a surprise, because when you think that the enemy is someone from the outside, you kind of find out who the enemy really is. And it's pretty dark. It's pretty fun. Pretty dark.
I have that one. I just haven't read it yet.
The other one I have is Henry and Glenn Forever and Ever, number one, which is about Henry Rollins and Glenn Danzig, who are in love and living together.
A comedy.
Yeah, it's a comedy.
It's an odd group. Do they even like each other?
In real life?
Yeah.
I don't know. They put them together, though, because they're both, like, big muscle heads now.
Yeah, they're... Henry Rollins is more of a punk style, and I don't know what Danzig's music is.
Well, he started out punk and then moved to some weird techno metal.
Yeah. The only song I know by... Like, I know more stuff from Black Flag and stuff than I do from...
Rollins Band.
From Danzig, the only song I know from Danzig is "Mother."
Yeah, they make fun of that, or not make fun of that song, but they reference that song in here too. Oh, and their next door neighbors are Hall & Oates.
Ah, there you go.
Who are living together and are their Satanists?
I knew they were.
I worked on it.
It was good. It was
they always said if you played their albums backwards, you would get devil stuff.
It's real.
Hall & Oates. Oates looked like he was ready to make a porn in the 70s.
Wasn't he?
The mustache?
Yeah, he always looked like he was ready to film a porn.
Him and John Byrne.
There you go. Any TV or movies? I didn't really watch shit.
I caught up on Breaking Bad. I caught up on Graceland, which I really enjoyed, which is about a group of agents, different federal, DEA, FBI. It's USA.
Okay.
It's on USA. Also, I caught up on, what was the show? Oh, Rookie Blue, which is on ABC. That's a summer show. It's a bunch of pretty cops, basically.
What is that about? What do you mean?
Cops. They're rookie. The first season was them just graduating from the academy, and now they're up to season three, I think. So they're kind of a little bit more seasoned.
So is that the shtick? Is there just, it's a bunch of sexy cops? I mean, is that the premise of the show?
Well, it's not the premise, but they are pretty cops. They are pretty cops. There's not a, no one has, everybody has a, has abs. There's no,
no, there's that one. No, there is that one dude.
Oh, the bald guy.
The bald guy.
That's right. He's dating a witch right now because he got divorced the last season. He had an unhappy marriage, and he finally he's dating a new woman.
And all the pretty people seem to be dating one another.
It's got some tripping in it.
Uh huh.
It's pretty cool. I enjoyed that. I mean, it's kooky. It's a fun show. Fun show. I like it. Let me see what else. Strike Back. I'm still catching up on season three of Strike Back, which is, if you like G.I. Joe.
That's a Cinemax show, right?
Yeah, Cinemax or Skinemax.
What is that? Like, it looks like a bunch of mercenaries. What is that about?
They're MI6, MF5, I think. They're MI5, and they go on missions, but their missions never turn out right. Everything that could go wrong in a mission does go wrong. So they wind up having to fight their way out of a bunch of bad situations all over the world. And usually people die. Like they had to pretend to rob a bank because really what they wanted was the codes by this evil guy to get information out of his safe deposit box. And of course the guy has a heart attack in the middle of the robbery. So the whole reason for them going gets all fucked up, and then the army comes and they're kind of corrupt and they come in shooting, and it's a mess. But it's fun. I like that action stuff. I like all that. And there's lots of boobies in it. And I like boobies. It make me happy. What else did I watch? Sons of Anarchy started. The new season started. I love that show. And that's a fun show. It has Hellboy in it. And it has...
you just started watching that? Barb is making her way through that.
I fall on it. Donnie's the one who... I got Donnie to... Finally, he's catching up on all of it. I think he's up to date now. He's finally up to date.
It's like a show I'd like. I just don't have time for it.
You have to make the time, bro.
No, I'm still making my way through Breaking Bad.
Oh, well, it's almost done. You got time, I guess.
No, I don't.
It's only got one... One issue. No, I mean, it's done. You don't have to rush. I mean, it'll be on Netflix. You can watch it when you want to.
I could only give in to two or three shows, and that's it.
Yeah, no, you have a limit.
I got too many comics to read. Not enough time. Wow, this chick is hot.
Where?
Squirrel. Look at this. It's Mystique in a Ferrari.
Ooh.
Holy moly. She looks naked.
Mike, I can't talk about these things.
I'm a married man.
Can't talk about this stuff. It's incredible. You can't do that.
This guy posted on this picture. He says, I think my penis just exploded.
Damn. Oh, if I had a nickel for every time that happened. Boy, oh boy.
Bill, you watch TV?
I've been watching. I'm still going through Regenesis on Hulu, which is the show about the. It takes place at the NORBAC, which is a North American biotechnology something, where they study basically outbreaks, virus outbreaks, and try and figure out how to solve them. So it's kind of like and the main character is like the head guy there. So it's kind of like a Sherlock Holmes type thing, or like a House type thing, where there'll be this virus outbreak and they'll be working on it, trying to figure out what the cause of it was, and then hopefully solve it. And then there's a bigger thread going through like the whole season. I just finished watching the first season and I just started on the second season. There's four seasons of it, so making my way through those. It's really good. It's really well done. It's actually it's a Canadian show, but it was done for the one of the Canadian cable companies, like the Canadian, like Showtime, I guess, equivalent, something like that, or the Canadian HBO type thing. So
you do like those Canadian shows.
I love the Canadian shows. That's why I watch Rookie Blue. That's a Canadian show too.
Were you ever a Canadian citizen, or were you just there?
I was just there.
Okay.
One of my brothers and one of my sisters were born there, though, so they're both Canadian and American.
They have dual citizenship now, or are they?
Yeah, they have dual now. At least until they're forced to.
Do any of them live in Canada now?
No, we're all in the States now.
Oh, they're double agents.
I can't comment on that.
Uh-huh. I knew they're coming. They're coming to take us over.
I watched another. Oh, is it a Canadian show? I think it's a Canadian show on Hulu. If there's a Canadian show on Hulu, I'm going to watch. I love Canadian shows.
Second City TV. Galoo-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo.
That was a great Canadian show. So I watched the first two episodes of it. It's called Testies.
Testies.
Oh yeah.
It's about these two guys who do medical experiments for money. Mm-hmm. So they volunteer at this. I can't remember what the Testico, I think, to do experiments. And I'm trying to remember what the first. I can't remember what experiment they go for. The first. Oh yeah. So the first episode, you can tell by the title it's very wrong. The humor is it's very wrong humor. So the first episode is about they go in and they lay on this table, and this this robot thing
goes donkey punch. No.
Yeah. So it. Gets them from behind.
Oh, it does do donkey punch. I was right.
And so it's funny. So when it starts out, the one guy, he goes, "Can I get the placebo this time?" He got the placebo last time. And they're like, "We can't. We don't know who's going to get the placebo." So the first guy does it, and he's like, "Oh, that was easy, because it really didn't do anything." And then the next guy basically gets ass raped by this machine.
What? What the hell is this?
So then his nipples start lactating and his stomach starts growing, so he thinks he's so they figure that he's pregnant, right? So he starts to go through all these emotions like he's pregnant, and all the girls at the bar start coming on to him because they could tell that there's something special about him.
This is a TV show.
Yeah.
If
you know, I'm googling it right now.
His nipples lactate and that makes the girls want to come on?
Well, I think because he's like, I don't know, his emotional, his hormones or something are attracting the women.
What?
It was funny.
It said and it then, aired on FX at one time.
Oh, did it?
Really?
So then the next one, they're testing a drug, and I'm trying to remember. Oh wait, and also in the first one, there's a guy who has a spray that's a penis enlarger, and he keeps spraying his penis so it gets really, really huge.
Did they show it or what?
No, that just through his pants.
Just his pants?
Yeah. So the girl who works at the testing place, she sees him and she's like, oh, you know, and he's like, so you want to, how about we go out, you know? And she's like, I don't want to go out with you, but I do want to sleep with you.
Oh my God. That's my favorite kind of woman.
So they're in bed and he starts to get aroused and you see like, the sheets rising.
Uh-huh.
And then he passes out because he lost too much blood.
Too much blood in his boner.
That has happened to me. I will say that. It's honest. It does happen. It's
very realistic.
Yeah, it's very realistic.
So then the next time, so she gives him like a bag of blood so he can like...
What?
So he can, I guess, inject the blood into him so he has more blood. So he'll last longer.
That's insane.
But then she's like, so the next day she's like, okay, are we ready? Are we on for tonight? And he's right. I'm going to need another bag of blood. And she's like, what do you mean another bag of blood? I gave you a bag of blood. And then he like makes a jerking motion with his hand. So he used the blood already.
Jeez.
Oh, wow.
But then she gives him another one. It's yeah.
I think we need to all be reading this. Wait, watch it. This is
a DC Noise show, man.
Damn right.
Is this on Netflix?
I don't know if it's on Netflix. It's on Hulu.
It gotta be on. We, you know what? This should be a pick. This should definitely be a pick. I'll get you back, you Keith Knudsen.
So the second episode, I can't remember what the drug is they're testing, but it turns them into women. So they get breasts. And their dicks disappear.
I just get fat. That's the same. Works the same way. You eat too much.
That's funny. It's very wrong.
Totally wrong.
It's as wrong as wrong can be.
Of course.
I'm surprised they showed that on FX.
Well, you could get the DVDs on Netflix. It looks weird, man. It looks really out there.
It sounds like it.
It was created by, and the guy with the big dick is Kenny Hotz, who was on, you ever see the show Kenny and Spenny?
No.
Never heard of it.
Either.
I think they showed that was on some channel for a while. I don't remember what channel it was on. Anyway, he was one of the guys on that.
What kind of porno are you watching?
Yeah, there's some very wrong stuff on it. Yeah, so they get breasts and vaginas, basically.
I like vaginas and breasts.
But they say they didn't have an operation, so their dicks didn't go away. They just shrunk them down so they're really small and then stretched out their urethras.
Some are born that way. Nothing wrong with that.
I did watch a movie, too.
What do you got?
It wasn't very good. Lockout.
It's on my queue. I just haven't seen it yet.
I think I've seen that.
It's about a prison in space.
Yeah, it was one of our movie challenges, Daryl.
It was?
What do you mean you hadn't seen it? Maybe you cheated and you didn't watch it that time.
It looked it up on Wikipedia.
Oh, no, I got a drink.
I mean, I saw it.
We watched that. That was my choice. You didn't watch my pick.
I don't believe that was our choice. I don't remember that.
It was. I guarantee it.
I don't remember that.
I don't remember you guys talking about that. I could have just missed it.
I don't remember. See, Bill didn't remember us talking about it.
No, I'll find it. I'm gonna tell you.
I don't remember. I don't think we did cover that one.
You didn't remember cheating and then looking it up on Wikipedia.
I don't cheat. I just say I don't see it. I just say I refuse to watch it. I don't cheat.
Unless it's for a contest, and then he'll cheat.
That's the guy where he has to break into the satellite up in space
isn't
or something.
Isn't it like a Canadian movie or something? It's not. It's a foreign. It's not made. It wasn't even filmed in the States. It was a.
What films are made filmed in the States?
It's filmed in the streets.
It was a. It was created and produced. The idea and it was produced by Luc Besson.
That's right. It was a French.
It's not a French movie. It's got Guy Pearce and.
But I mean, it was a French production, wasn't it?
I don't know if it was. It might have been. It wasn't as good as a French movie. It definitely wasn't a French movie.
They make bad movies too sometimes. Not just us.
It wasn't a bad movie. It was a good movie for, I thought, for streaming or whatever.
Yeah, I didn't really like it.
Yeah, it was free. For free, it can't be that bad.
I don't know. Heavy Masala was free.
Oh, yeah. My bad. I take it back.
Cave of Forgotten Dreams.
Oh, man. You bring it all back. They need to pay me for watching that shit.
Legends of the Fall.
Oh, they need to pay me for that. The fuck with that?
That movie, I just don't get how some guy could love that movie so much.
I don't know. To the point.
I just can't. I can't grasp it. I really try. I try.
I don't.
Still never seen that one.
I watched it enough. I did watch it. I did.
You watched it 10 times.
Yeah.
You watched that movie more than Star Wars.
Made me cry.
Because you wanted to win the contest.
What?
She's watching football.
Oh.
She's establishing her dominance.
See what I mean by she scared me?
It's like, oh my God.
I will crush you, Mike.
I will crush you.
What? He effed up, man.
So that's all I got for TV.
I watched one movie.
Oh, wait, I do have one other comment.
Oh, go ahead.
For some reason, I felt the need to watch the last season or last year season of Criminal Minds. And I don't know what happened to that show. The writing is horrible now.
What? You watched the other seasons or you just jumped into the last season?
No, I watched the other seasons. But this season, like, it started out with bad writing, and I stuck with it, and it was bad up to the end.
So you ate through it.
I don't know why. I pulled a Keith.
You did.
You watched through it.
You watched through it.
That's his whole theory. You eat through it. You watch through it. You drink through it. You read through it.
Unless you get a second print, then you can.
Then you can't bail. Read.
You have to bail. Yeah. So Criminal Minds, I cannot recommend it.
I watched Dragon. No, what the hell is it called? Deathstalker. That's a weird movie from the 80s. I remember it being out, but it was one of our movie choices. And it's like a barbarian type movie. Or probably around the. What year did Conan come out?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Wasn't it like mid 80s?
But it spawned 4 movies. Wow. So it must have been pretty damn good. Except you can't ever get them. There's Deathstalker, Deathstalker 2, Deathstalker 3 is not even listed. Damn. And there's a Deathstalker 4 in 1990. But they have like cool ass covers. That's what strikes you when you see it. But it was all right. It had Barbie Benton. She was like a model at the time, right? And her character is really interesting. She plays a dude that can morph into a woman because there's like this mystical dude and he's like, I need you to go get the sword of Deathstalker. And he turns this dude into Barbie Benton. And she goes and tries to, you know, get cuddly with him and then kill him and take his sword.
Don't they always do that?
Yeah. But it has like barbarian women that just fight topless. They just have swords and they're pretty badass, like Red Sonja, except they don't bother to wear chainmail. They just fight with their breasts.
Got my attention. You have definitely got my attention.
What did Barbara just say? Fuck those guys up.
Barbara's scary, man. I'm telling you. You would think she's not.
Daryl's eyes get big.
She scares me.
His penis shrinks.
You gotta see the elevator conversation. Daryl, we're trying to go to the Star Joe's room to go, you know, party at night. And that's like another Campbell Con. They like give a bunch of free shit away, and then you shoot the shit for like a couple hours, mm-hmm. and drink beer. And Daryl's calling us from the elevator. This is where we need you again, Bill, because you're the elevator guy.
Yep.
And he's like, I don't know what to do, Barb. I don't have a key to the room, and you need to put your key in the elevator. And Barb's yelling at him. She's like, Daryl, just push the button.
She wanted me to just break the law.
And it worked. So she was right.
Just break the law. Don't.
Just break the law.
Don't do the right thing. That's exactly what she said. And she was right.
Yeah.
She was right. I should have never did the right thing. I'll never do it again.
So that's it. Do you guys have any food? Are you going to eat anything, Daryl?
I had some oxtails that for lunch that were very spicy.
That sounds like something that Keith would eat. What? They're eating ass?
No, oxtail. It's not ass.
It's close to the ass.
Yeah, where's the tail if it's not on the ass?
It's hanging off the asshole.
It's like an extension of the asshole.
Extension of the asshole, it is.
It's all ass right. Meat, right?
I'm Darren Taylor, and I eat ass.
I think I need to comment on this on Facebook. I said, hey, Keith, you'd be proud. Daryl's eating some ass.
I'm eating ass.
So you're eating oxtail. Where do you get oxtail at?
My mom made oxtail a couple of days ago. So I have.
What does it taste like?
Tastes good. It's tastes more like beef than anything else, but it's got gravy.
You eat it like a pot roast or something?
Yeah, I eat it just like a pot roast with rice, with yellow rice and gravy, and got beans in it.
So ass works with the gravy.
Oh, ass always works
with gravy. Ass gravy?
Ass gravy.
Oh, ass gravy. And it's brown, so it kind of fits. So it's awesome.
We're going to eat enchiladas today, so I'm happy.
Something that's really hot, isn't it?
I don't. It depends on the batch of chili. Sometimes we get green chili that's really hot,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes it's not that hot.
Hey, what? Tell her to hold it down. You're podcasting. We don't have time for this.
Hold it down, woman. We're podcasting. Oh,
did she yell at you?
She yelled at me.
Uh-oh.
You got me in trouble.
Never mind.
See, Daryl? I'll just go back into my corner and go podcast.
Go read your comic books.
Yeah.
You're probably sending an angry Facebook message on the wall. Like, I will come over there and I will punch you in the throat.
All right, that's Bill. You eat the same canned fish every day.
Every
so.
Day, canned fish.
Fish and you eat grass too, right?
He does eat grass.
You're one of those grass eaters.
Eat grass. I've seen a lot of green beans because for some reason in my garden, like the green beans went like crazy this year, and there's green beans everywhere.
Mike, could you stop him from doing this?
You get disgusted with this conversation. Him and Micah, right?
I can't.
You're like, it doesn't even make you hungry, does it?
No. I handle this. It's too much. Make him stop.
I forgot what I ate yesterday.
You forgot. I had a
Philly cheesesteak. That was good. Green chili Philly cheesesteak.
There you go. I knew it was something with green chili something.
Put green chili on everything, man.
I know.
It works.
I know. The hotter the better.
See, get a lot of vitamin C from green chili.
And all the sweating.
No, there's no sweat.
It'd be if I was eating it.
You sweat when you eat everything.
Well, that's true. Especially when it's good. Oh my God. Yeah. I start to sweat. You do not want to see a fat man when he eats some food that he like. He start to sweat. We sweat every time we get happy, we sweat. We sweat when we at the con and we're happy. We sweat when we about to have sex. We sweat when we about to eat good food. That's how you know Batman is happy. He starts sweating.
You sweat when you read comics?
Do I? That's why I like reading them on an iPad.
You sweat when he's talking about testes?
Oh my God, so? Do I? Sweat when I'm talking about eating ass? Yeah. I start sweating.
Are you sitting in your boxers right now? You didn't even leave the house this weekend, did you?
I had to go out to do errands that I didn't want to do, but that was it. I threw on sweatpants, though. It was my first sweatpants of the year.
Your pajama jeans. The pajama jeans came out.
The pajama jeans
out of the closet.
It looks like I'm wearing pants.
I'm going to get me a pair of pajama jeans. That and my Snuggie. Even want to burn my Snuggie. Only because they don't understand my Snuggie. But that's all right. Respect my Snuggie.
All right. Well, this has been Geek Brunch 190.
Yes.
And don't steal Bill's ideas. You don't steal
copyright.
Yeah.
We have proof going back like at least a year's worth that I created this Laurel and Hardy character.
Yes, you did. Mm-hmm. You gave it to me.
If I see it in a movie, I'm going to be pissed.
Kick somebody's ass.
Yeah.
It's already written. It's done.
We just got to go get a lawyer to patent that sucker.
That's right.
Let's patent that. I posted a Laurel and Hardy thing on your Facebook wall to motivate you.
Okay.
They're holding a little baby with a mustache. I thought it was funny. All right, we're Geek Brunch Podcast. You can reach us on Facebook at Geek Brunch Podcast and click the like button. We have Twitter accounts. Micah, who wasn't here today because I think he's going to be in Japan in a couple years. Is studying with his study group. Couldn't make it. He's at Do What, and Bill is at DBM00. Daryl is at The Voice 123. You could check out the Taylor Network where he does a gazillion. We were counting your podcasts. There's like at least 9 or 10, man.
About 8.
That's a lot. Yeah, one of them you don't record too much anymore. The others, they're pretty active.
Yeah, well, I don't have time for all of them. Got to alternate sometimes.
Yeah, he's also my co-host on DC Noise. You could check that out. We had a good episode with Sean Pryor.
Yeah, Keith wasn't there, so we talked comics.
Yeah, we talked comics last night. A lot of old comics, which is going to kill Keith.
Oh, it's going to kill. He's going to eat him up.
Yeah, he's going to be like, you motherfuckers.
Oh, we talked so much comics, it made me buy some.
Yeah, it made me want to go catalog my upper room upstairs to find my comics. Let's see. What else? We got Forum for Geeks. Scroll down to Geek Brunch. I'm still tracking my weekly
comic reads.
I took a nosedive last week because of Baltimore Con, but I think I'm back into the 40s this week.
Yeah, you got Donnie doing it too now.
Yeah, yeah. Donnie's doing it, and Paul Price is doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's somebody... I wish I knew his name, but Nat Chucknick or whatever on the forums, yeah, he's doing it.
Nunchucks.
Nunchucks. he's doing it, but I don't know his name. Like, I think I did at one time, but now I just know him by his alias. So, and he reads a lot. Yeah, and he's
sometimes I get confused if like I'll read it and I'll think it's yours, but then I'll notice like a manga, like a 4 out of 5 for a manga, and then I'll be like, oh, like, wait, this isn't Mike's.
He reads a lot. I mean, he reads pretty much what I, you know, like the quantity I read.
Yeah, it seems like it.
Yeah, if not more sometimes. So you could check that out. We just say what we read and what we rank them. And I think that's about it. Our site is geekbrunchpodcast.com. Mm-hmm. And you can find us on iTunes by searching for Geek Brunch Podcast and leave an iTunes review. We need some. We want to hit 25. I think we're stuck at 24. And I won't leave my own podcast. I could hit 25, but I am just not going to do that. If I was Daryl, I'd write, this podcast is the best thing I've ever done.
Hey, did you read my iTunes review? That's what you read mine?
You like pimp your stuff like it's nobody.
I am the greatest.
And you like talk about yourself. You're like, that one podcast is the best I've ever.
Oh my gosh, it was so good.
It's so good.
Talk about eating ass for 2 hours. Keep it down over there.
Yeah, the Chiefs won.
Ooh.
Keith would be happy. He's a Chiefs fan. He's
at the beach eating pizzas. As far as
when he posted that, I thought he was hungover. He's like, "Oh, the light!" I'm like, "It was all that bourbon you drank, and then you're on the beach and you're naked, and
his
what happened?"
Wife is doing handstands in the water. He eats pizza.
He's eating pizza on the beach.
If you put his pictures together, that's what I got out of it. He's eating pizza in the beach.
Perfect beach food.
His wife is walking on doing handstands in the water.
Yoga in the water.
What a weekend.
Help!
Help!
There's a condom in the elevator.
This is a job for Don Quixote.
All right, well, I'll talk to you guys later. You guys have a good week.
You too.
You too. Stay dry.
We'll try.
Yeah, let people know what's going on.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah.